Welcome to CodeCast. We're a podcast that focuses on everything tech, and we give you an idea of what developers, startups, and creatives are up to in Zambia and across Africa. Every 2 weeks, we explore different topics and applications of technology in the real world. Every episode is brought to you by Agora Code Community. For more information, visit agoracode.community or follow us on Twitter at CodeAgora.
Hi, this is Musonda of Musonda Speaks HR, and you're listening to CodeCast.
Welcome to episode 13 of CodeCast. Okay, so this voice you hear, this is Mukuma, one of your hosts, and everybody else will go as per custom.
Hi guys, Wezi back again for another exciting episode of CodeCast, your favorite podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll talk about this in a bit.
Yeah.
My favorite podcast.
One of your hosts. Everyone knows me. Everyone loves me. Come on, you know.
I am Cynthia, Python Khaleesi, the Red Range Rover lady.
So for everyone that will listen to this episode, I really miss Cynthia. You know, like it's been a tough couple of episodes.
Where is this coming from? She's around, though. You're really honest today.
He's being honest. I like that. No, honesty is the best policy.
Of course.
And we have guest number. Guest, what's your number?
5.
Was that like a random number? So 5's like your favorite number.
Yes, pretty much.
Okay. Would you like to introduce yourself, guest number 5? Okay.
Drum roll.
There's no drum roll. Okay. So I am Musonda.
Oh,
I have
we're about to give you a drum roll.
Oh. Okay. Let's.
No, it's
do
too
it.
Late. Let's.
But
oh, yeah.
We were so close.
Yeah.
Fine. Okay, so I have nothing special to say. I'm Musonda and I speak HR.
Oh, I like
that's
that.
That's nice. Yeah, that's nice.
It's right there, the title of like, okay.
Yeah, and I feel like that's like motivation. We need to improve, you know, like introduction.
Nah, mine was fine. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Really? Yeah.
No, but really, if CodeCast isn't your favorite podcast by now, then I don't know what you're doing.
Which Zambian podcast do you listen to?
Tell us.
At us.
Anyway, that was a joke. You should see the looks I'm getting in the studio.
Okay, getting started. I tried looking through different news articles this week, and the moment I read the article about Disney Plus, I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Not because they're launching a streaming service. I mean, that's really good. I mean, kudos to them. They've been around for 90 plus years. Making a shitload of money. They've brought some of the coolest movies like in the last 20 years, and that's pretty good. But then it kind of feels like we're entering some kind of bubble. Like, it's like the property bubble. Like, how many streaming services are we going to have? Like, right now you're paying an average of, what, $30 per streaming service? And now, like, all my Captain Marvels, all my, like, favorite movies are going to move to one platform, and now I'm like, crap. $20 for Disney Plus. Oh, Bread Box, $10. Then I'm like, crap. Apple TV?
So, we don't even know if Disney Plus is coming to Zambia. The reason why Netflix is so popular in Zambia is because it's one of the few that's available. I tried
it's
to
like
get on.
Deezer.
Yeah. Mm. Well, no. But we'll get into that.
And also, we'll get into why people still have access to Disney Plus, even if it's not available.
The thing is, with video streaming, it's different. Because I tried to get on Hulu, mm-hmm. and I couldn't watch anything. Because it recognizes when you're using a VPN. The same for Netflix. Because, you know, there's some movies that are on Netflix NA that aren't available. And So, like, I was looking for recently, I think, Infinity War. Mm-hmm. Couldn't find it. But I saw an article saying Infinity War is now on Netflix. So I was wondering, well, no.
That's really terrible news for everyone that wants to watch a Zambian movie that's not available in Zambia yet on Netflix.
I actually haven't checked if it's I'm not a witch. Yeah. I don't know if it's available on the Zambian Netflix.
Netflix.
It's not.
I searched it.
Yeah. Seriously? So that sucks because they're clearly like prioritizing NA and EU.
This feels like going through net neutrality, but from like a content perspective.
Yeah. So that's the thing, like. From our perspective, we don't even know if we're going to be able to access it. But
net neutrality was about content, right?
No, it was about access to platforms, not necessarily content.
Yeah, but it was a platform war. necessarily. It was about content.
Yeah, it was.
It kind of boils down to content, I guess, whichever way you look at it.
Yeah, but like for net neutrality, we're going on a serious tangent. But for net neutrality, it was the ISP that was filtering what you see. This is Netflix that does this. They're the people that provide you with the content. So we see this all over. We see this on PSN, on Xbox Live. Like, there's content that in certain regions you can't get.
Yeah.
Famously in Australia, because of their like drug laws and all that stuff, a lot of games are not. You can't play GTA, I think,
really?
In Australia.
Heesh.
So that's
a part of your childhood missing.
So you know, it's kind of that thing where it also comes down to, I don't know, things like the laws of the place that you're providing the content to and stuff like that. For example, in Germany, Wolfenstein, they had to redo all the Nazi imagery.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah, they had to, like, every reference to Hitler, like, they removed the Hitler mustache, every swastika was changed.
That's in Germany.
Yeah, because it's illegal to have any Nazi-associated imagery or something like that.
In Germany.
So if they were going to release the game in Germany, they would have to make those big changes. And those were significant changes.
Yeah, that's huge.
Yeah. Like every reference to Nazi, and it's, for context, it's a game about an alternate history where the Nazis win.
We're not about to start giving a review of movies. I'm not.
So it's
not
a game about
game
Nazis.
Yet, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Like, is it, was that like a local law or was that?
It's a German law.
Okay.
Yeah. It should be. I'm not too sure exactly what the law is, but the reason those changes were made was because of the law in Germany. So,
you know what? Circling back to the whole conversation around streaming services. You know, when I was a kid, right? Like for me growing up, you know, there was no DSTV, there was no all this stuff. We eventually got DSTV, and you're so excited. Then you realize they're paying a shitload of money. Worse when you move, and then you start paying that bill yourself. Then realize how much you're paying, and then you're like,
do I really need this?
Now that's like a screw cable. I'm switching to streaming services. And now it feels like one of the biggest reasons we're moving from cable is because of the price point.
Yeah.
We're going full circle.
Yeah. Like, I feel like a lot of people, the only reason they're still on like DSTV and stuff is because of sports.
Yeah.
And there's no bouquet or like package that gives you, like, if I'm not mistaken, just sports. I don't know, but I don't think there is.
You are
not for the sports. Yeah. I mean, it's football here.
Because everything else
you
can get on streaming services. Like there was this tweet from, is this Sturkey Nicole, that was throwing shade at DSTV for some movie. And they were saying, if you want to watch it a year before DSTV, you can check it out. And it's that thing, right? Like, they're still using that old, like, cable box model, which is clearly going the way of the dodo.
Have you tried DSTV
now, though?
It's really good.
It is, but you still need to pay that. You need to have a DSTV subscription.
It's not based on a streaming model, obviously. Yeah.
No, but then the thing is, it's eventually is going to be based on the streaming model.
Exactly,
Which I might be thinking for them, they might not necessarily be, you know, on the same wavelength as me. But if I was them, I would be thinking about segmenting content and, eventually becoming a streaming service. I mean, they're all the way across Africa. They dominate Nigeria, which is one of the biggest markets in Africa. Mm-hmm. I mean, dude, what's Netflix? That's me. But then... Moving on.
Well, eventually we're still using streaming.
Sooner or later.
Cynthia, you can tell us the other news.
Oh, we're done for the others?
I'll
get emotional if I keep talking about this.
Oh, have we even touched on Disney? Like,
we're talking about
we
Disney.
Debated.
Then it shifted to just generally streaming.
Down the way.
I wanted to give context for why I think the conversation around Disney locally might not change much. It'll change things in the sense that if you use Netflix, because I think they said Ant-Man and the Wasp was the last Marvel thing coming to Netflix.
It's actually a 4-year plan. Like, they're pulling all rights.
Yeah.
And you can imagine they're worth $150 million and they're pulling everything.
Content wars. It's all boiling down to content, man.
Yeah.
Apple, It's all content, basically.
Guess number five?
Zilt.
No.
Okay, Cynthia, would you like to lead us into our next news
item? Skynet. Okay, so not Skynet, okay. Or Alexa. Yes. I don't know if I should announce it as it's news because I heard it last year, though everyone seems to be excited about it now. I was excited about it then. Google has opened their first AI lab in Africa, which is in Ghana.
Just, is there a specific reason why it's Ghana, though?
We have been trying to figure out why it is Ghana. And I was in Kenya about a week ago, and we were talking AI on how we're going to leverage on AI as the sub-Saharan countries. And we were asking ourselves, why have they picked Ghana? Of all the countries on the African continent, why Ghana?
For the record, we're not salty.
Yeah, we're not throwing shades. Please don't attack us.
Yeah, we're just curious.
I think we need to promote this episode in Ghana.
Do you think it would have been viable in a place like Zambia?
Honestly?
Do we have the talent pool? Do we have the technology?
Honestly.
No. I think we all know the answer to that.
We all know that. But
no,
then
I don't know the answer to that.
No, we are not.
We're not ready.
So part of the discussions that we did at the workshop I was at in Kenya was looking at different countries. So each representative was giving a background of the affair in their country in AI. I'm laughing.
Wait, so South Africa is lagging behind? Because I expect
South is doing very well. But then they're saying we have South Africa, we have Kenya, we have Nigeria that are doing very well. They're the top three countries actually doing extremely well
in terms of AI, South Africa, and Nigeria.
Then the rest of us, the likes of Zambia, Tanzania, Malawi, you know, Zim. Yeah, we are still starting off. If it's Zambia, worse off.
So is this based on research?
They actually did the research and they shared a report. I will share it on my Twitter, an overview anyway, where they showed the percentages of how many people are using AI in each country. And
or using AI, or even
just doing simple
research papers
for AI.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the numbers that we had were not so good. So we are willing, from their research, it showed that we are willing to adopt AI, but have not started.
That's in Zambia.
Implementing AI, yes.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I'm very curious to see how this will pan out in the next 2 to 3 years because I know the data hack, I never quite...
Financial inclusion.
Yes, thank you.
Data hack FI.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I can never finish it off.
Data hack for FI.
Thank you.
Data hack for financial inclusion.
Oh, there's a four. There's an actual four, right?
Yes, it's an actual four.
Okay. So like I'm thinking like this is the second or third year running, right? So
the third season. Yeah.
Third season running. So I'm thinking with that we'll have a lot more data scientists and more people interested in machine learning and then eventually AI and then in a couple of years we'll have a lot more people practicing and
The issue that I'm seeing, so most of our policies are not allowing some of these innovations. So these are I know they put in the Cybersecurity Act, then there's what was that? Is that data privacy or something? There are several of them. There should be about five acts they have done. But then if you critically go through them, it's either one is duplicating what the other is already doing, or it's restricting what the other is trying to achieve.
Okay, but then where are we?
So they actually do conflict, right?
My problem is they're not really involving us.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was about to ask. So, like, where are we in these conversations and, like, having all these policies put in place, these laws?
We are not
because
included.
I remember the ICT SZ thing, the bill. I remember we had extensive conversations over that, yeah. But then everything else, it just seems like it was imposed. Like, Zictor just... Yeah.
I feel that they should really look in... I know they might be saying, no, we involved maybe the IT people in government and whatnot, but I feel they should also call out to who are in the private sector.
Yeah,
yes, exactly. They listen to us as well.
Didn't one of the ministers put out a tweet last week?
He was surprised that they're actually developers that can build proper solutions.
And this is a guy in engineering.
Yes.
But guys, I don't know if that still shocks you till today. Like, just today, on like if you're listening to this podcast, by the time of recording, on Twitter, we are currently talking about Jumia.
Oh, Jumia.
The CEO said on like
the whole CEO
TV that there aren't enough developers or qualified. Like,
yeah,
I'm like,
it's either they're there, but they're not qualified.
And this is a guy who has no presence in terms of like physical like location in Africa. Their tech team is in Portugal. Their home base and the registration is in Germany.
So how do they know whether African, there is?
And they claim to be an African company. So now
miss
I'm like,
me with that.
Who are you to speak for us? You're not African. Come on.
It's so embarrassing.
A long time ago, they would have said
there.
We are not publishing ourselves, or we're not really talking about our skills. But now we are writing articles. We are everywhere on Twitter.
Look at Andela. Look at Andela. They just got what, Series B, Series C funding, and I'm just like, dude, you know what?
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, I'm happy that we have an AI base in Africa. Granted, it's in Ghana. It's central. It means everybody can get there. There's no problem.
Central for who?
Yeah,
central
like,
for
when
who?
You say central.
Guys, have you seen where Ghana is? Like, it's almost central. Like,
to who?
Guys.
Where do you stay, Nkuma?
You know what?
Good question.
You know what? I think in the show notes, I'm going to put a link to a picture of me drawing where Ghana is and how far we are from Ghana and how far Egypt and Morocco and Algeria are from Ghana.
So, picking up, is that it for the news?
That's definitely it for the news.
So, topic of the day.
Secure the bag.
What does that mean?
Our context in terms of securing the bag is making sure you know what to do when you go for an interview and all these
things. Oh, I thought it was like a Call of Duty thing. Secure the package.
No?
And that's why I'm giving context. That's why I'm giving context, because other people secure the bag is like, dude, it's crazy. You need to like make use of the Urban Dictionary. It's like your friend. It's really your friend.
Anyway,
I'll even put a link in the description. Like,
do they have an app?
They probably do. Everyone has an app these days. Yeah, pretty much. So we're going to start by first looking at what the
HR landscape.
What HR landscape is like right now. So do you want to take us away? Now, when we get video streaming, everyone will see what I'm doing now.
Guest number five.
I'll be able to take it away. Okay, so what exactly do you mean in terms of the HR landscape? Do you mean in Zambia or in the world?
You know, ideally, I would like to talk about Zambia only, but I don't know if there's a lot to talk about, to be honest. And that's coming from a very ignorant perspective in terms of
HR.
HR and stuff. Like, I've handled HR, but then it's like Google HR, you know, like, right?
What does HR mean? Wikipedia.
And that's me. Okay, so it would be easy to talk about the HR landscape in the world, but like most things, it doesn't apply here. Because
really?
No.
It's not like a standard, like.
No, not really.
You know, it feels like it's a 1, 2, 3 kind of thing. Like HR applies to South Africa, it applies to like what kind of principles are we applying?
Okay, no. Look, we have the basic principles, but then when I talk about, for example, human resource development in Zambia, it's completely different if I was talking about it in a different place. I don't know if that makes any sense.
We need context.
Okay, you may need
that it's non-existent here or...
Pretty much, but then also, it
you just
then goes...
Compare.
No, you really can't,
yeah,
so...
What are we comparing? That's my thing.
Okay, so let me give a practical example. Okay, so let's say I have an organization with 500 people, right? Okay. And I want these people to get X number of skills. Okay, so if I am in a bigger organization with X amount of budget, I can then say we're going to go to Coursera and people are going to take courses. But then if I'm in Zambia, that's then a bit difficult. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Yes. So I could easily say that there's a lot of things that are now on information systems and things like that. But then I'm going to give an example of where I come from. I have over 1,200 employees. And half of them have grade 12 certificates. That's all. That's it. So if I'm then going to develop people in that realm compared to the developed world, where if I have 1,000 employees, they have masters and PhDs, but speaking a completely different language.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's landscape dependent.
Yes.
Okay.
So that makes it a bit difficult for you because you're a trained professional, right?
Yes.
all the stuff we learn is stuff that applies really well in other countries.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we marry that with the local landscape?
Well, it helps if you're Zambian.
First of all, thank you. Yeah.
That's a serious stereotype.
No, for real.
I'm not going to talk about the HR landscape in Zambia,
yeah.
Right? So basically, we're moving from a place where HR are paper pushers.
Okay.
And we're trying to be business partners. I said we're trying.
Yeah, but then that's really commendable, though.
No, but elaborate. I'm not sure. Like, so you want to move from like paper pushers to
okay.
Business.
So,
yeah.
Okay, what do you think about when people say HR?
No, we can't increase your salary.
Oh, sorry, you did not make it.
That's if you even get that notice. Like, no, you didn't make it. But seriously, what's the prescribed HR practice when it comes to like
not wanting someone?
Yeah, not wanting people. I mean,
or wanting them.
Or wanting them. I mean.
Okay, so personally, when I go for a job interview, I ask for a timeline. When do you expect to get back to me?
So, me too, but they never listen.
Yeah.
No, but you see, after that, mm-hmm. whether they say 1 week or 2 weeks, you then have the peace of mind to know that, okay, I can move on. Technically, in an ideal world, we should get back to you, but life happens.
Mm. So, wait, nah.
No?
Yeah. HR is human, after all.
So, maybe just, because I think it's important for us to maybe see the other side. Is the reason you don't get back to people just, you're
people.
Swamped? Well, yeah, are you bad people? Or is it because, like, you're just swamped with so many, like, applications that it just makes sense to just say, okay, we'll only get back to the ones that, like, get a call back or whatever? Like, how, what? Basically, why don't you answer my calls?
I think it's very organization-specific. I can't speak for everyone.
Yeah.
But I do know some organizations that get back to absolutely everyone who applies. Others say they'll only get in touch with the people who've been shortlisted and so on and so forth. So, yeah. But usually when people call, I tell them what happened if I didn't get back to them.
No, I won't put you on the
spot. On the spot.
On the spot. Right. Yeah, and we won't burn you.
This is bigger than you.
But you know, yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah. Like, I think my worst experience, and I think this is one of the interviews, this is one of like the hiring process thingies that I just really annoyed me because mm-hmm. I was only asking for very simple things, you
yes.
know. So like I applied for this job, right? Mm-hmm. Called me for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
The initial interview,
mm-hmm.
So like there's a paper exam and it's like is it oral?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm taking guy stuff oral.
Mm-hmm.
Oral exam. Took that exam, right? How long will it take you to get back to me? Oh, it's really urgent. So 2 weeks.
Yes.
At the most.
Yes.
2 months later.
Mm-hmm.
Another call. We need to come for another interview. So I'm like, what's this interview about? Like, is it different from the last one? Mm-hmm. Is it more technical? Like, what is it? HR assistant. Answers?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'll have to ask and get back to you. I'm like, but
it's been 2 months.
Right?
Yeah.
So I go back for the interview, right? And same questions as the first interview, except there's no exam. Like,
mm-hmm.
there's no paper exam.
Mm-hmm.
Same questions. It's just there's more people on the panel. And I'm like, but what am I doing here?
But then doesn't that then speak about reliability and validity of what you then wrote in the exam or something?
But then they aren't really related. So the exam is situational.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we're kind of like going to skip a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know about you guys,
mm-hmm.
but most interviews I've been to, like if they give you like a paper exam,
yes.
it's more situational, more like logic,
yes.
more like how to structure stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When you go for the oral exam,
mm-hmm.
it's really different. It's now...
Yeah.
It's really different. So whatever I wrote in there,
mm-hmm.
no correlation really. It's
mm-hmm.
it's kind of different. At least that's what I went through. So
yeah, because aren't you also testing different like abilities,
skills,
different
right?
skills?
But he said they asked the same things.
Not the same as the exam,
okay.
but the same
as,
oral
as the
same
interview.
Oral interview. So the oral interview was almost identical.
Okay.
So
but
then
the
I'm
panel
thinking
was larger,
panel.
Right?
It was larger.
Yes.
But then I feel like this
mm-hmm.
this is something you should tell me like
mm-hmm.
before. That's why I ask.
Mm.
What are you calling me for?
Yes.
Because I feel like I'm being taken for a ride. I don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
okay, so back to my point. We're trying to move away from paper pushing, where the HR assistant calls you and has no idea what you're being called about, to
yes.
actually being business partners, where I call you and I say, okay, the reason we want you to come back in is because ABCD, it's
yes.
part of our recruitment process, and so on and so forth.
That's pretty good. Yes. Because then I'd be, I'd feel more comfortable.
Comfortable with what?
No, like,
yeah, thank
dude.
You. Thank you.
No, look, listen.
Like, who are you? You don't have a job yet. Like, you, do you, you have
see,
a job or not?
You see, this is the kind of mindset we're looking at right now.
Yeah.
Because you have to also consider your peace of mind as well, right? You have to know. I feel more comfortable knowing that you don't like me because of this and this and this than you keeping quiet. Then my insecurities kick in. What did I say? What did I say? My second interview, by the way, I had a... Because a week prior, I had a soccer accident. So, like, I had a bruise on my knee. And I decided to wear cream white pants.
Okay.
And we'll I was using,
that
like...
in a bit.
Yeah. And I was like... And, you know, like... I know, because then...
No, say that again. Say it again.
I can't say cream white. Is it cream white? It's not?
No, you're okay.
Is it cream?
Why no, do you own cream white cream. Pants? But anyway.
Anyway, like, those are my favorite pants. Don't judge me. Don't judge me.
So,
like, you know, because of my bruise, like, for some strange reason that day, like, my wound opened.
Strange reason.
Anxiety, maybe?
I don't know. Maybe my pants were too tight.
Your pants?
Yes, exactly. So, like, maybe they were too tight. And then, like, the whole interview, I was freaking out because, like, I'm seated and, like, it's my knees. So, like, every time someone looks down, you're like, I'm looking down at my knee. Come on. So, at the very end of it all, right, I get up and the guy is still staring at me. So, I'm like... You know what? We need to address the elephant in the room right now. Like, this is literally in the interview. Like, we need to address the elephant in the room. Like, this was a soccer accident. So this shouldn't affect what just happened. Okay.
This sounds like a movie, man.
Then they responded, you play soccer, dude?
No. The response was, oh, we know, it's Friday. I'm like, oh, so it wasn't even the wood. It was like my cream white pants? Wow.
Yeah, we need to address that.
I did say that. Yeah. Anyway, but then it all goes back to... landscape. What are the unemployment rates in Zambia?
Quite high,
exactly.
Precisely. So if I don't call you back, it's because I have 1,000 other candidates, unfortunately, who are similar to you.
Yes.
But exactly. Then it makes sense, right?
It does make sense. And here's the thing with us. I feel we are too entitled. We feel entitled to everything.
Can I tell my story?
Okay, I'll go after you.
Okay. This is my seems frustration. Yeah, it is intense. So I go for
don't
an...
take that on me.
And I'm not saying that it's a good thing that people aren't given a bit more respect and things like that, but
no
because
one has
of
the time. Even you coming for the interview, you say that you don't have the time.
Okay, when Cynthia finishes, I'll tell you why
sorry.
I don't have the time.
Okay,
Cynthia, please go ahead.
So I went for an interview. This was a bank, very well-known bank. Did the interview part. They tell me, oh, Cynthia, you've made it, so you have to do your fingerprints. Yes. Get my fingerprints, submit. I'm like, okay, so I've submitted my fingerprints. When are you giving me, like, maybe the contract? You know, I peruse through and then we discuss and blah, blah, blah. Then they tell me, oh, in a week's time. I'm like, okay, fine. I go back home. A week's time, nothing. Two, nothing. Yeah. Three. I'm like, okay, hold on. So I had the phone number for the lady in HR. She was heading the HR department. Then she tells me, we found out that we won't actually have enough finances to hire more people. Yes? Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, okay, so when you are thinking of creating this position, you should have thought of the funds and then do you really need this position or not? And then she says, oh no, we'll call you very soon. We're still discussing. It might change. I'm like, fine. 6 months down the line, they call me. I went to be interviewed for the same position again, by the way. The same people who were on the first panel, the same lady, the head of HR, was seated there. And I just asked her, like, madam, do you remember you got my fingerprint? So if I did qualify the first time, why not just hire me this time now that you have the funds?
Yeah.
You know?
Is that what she said in the interview?
Yes. I was upset.
No, she had every right to be.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll get to etiquette.
No,
I was upset.
Yeah.
I used money for the prince.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
How did it all pan out?
They're just going like, oh no, you know, there were just certain technical difficulties amongst us.
I don't think they know what technical difficulties mean. No, but the reason why like your case is actually really extreme because that, like, you're using money to go and do all this stuff.
Yes.
You're using your time. Yeah. And they actually told you that you made the job.
Yeah.
So imagine a scenario where they tell you this and then you have another job and maybe you start slacking on that job or it starts affecting
you.
Or you even quit. Like,
yep.
Don't quit without a contract.
What do you say?
Sometimes it can be naive.
Yeah, sometimes you can
Don't quit without a contract. Don't do it.
Just don't.
Don't.
But you know how many people actually do know that you shouldn't quit without having
some people get excited
yeah. And
yeah, some people like seriously like have this like trust in the system.
Yeah.
Like,
but I feel like that's the thing. Systems, organizations, departments, they're made of people. Organization is only as good as its people.
Yeah, that's deep.
And also, I think that's what people forget, because you walk into an interview room or into an organization and you see all these structures and all these people in fancy clothes and you think that they have their things together, but sometimes they really don't.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay,
and also, I really don't think it's a lot to ask for someone to just get back to you. Whether they do or not, I mean, that's another thing. But I think it would be wrong to tell people that they shouldn't feel entitled, because that's the reason why we are in some of the problems that... Like, I would prefer it if you called me up to a week before the interview.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't call me the day before, because I have to prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can't drop everything I'm doing. Like, okay, let's be honest. We're in a tough economy. People are doing a lot to survive. Some people are tamangas because they don't have a job. You know what I mean? Maybe tomorrow he's got a business deal that he was about to crack. And you can tell him, come in for a job. He wants a job, huh? But he has that deal. Come on, let's respect each other.
True, that's true. But it goes back to what we were saying. Like, it's landscape dependent. And as she said, an organization is only as good as its people. It's not the name at the end of the day.
So then the thing is, should I not ask for all these things because of the landscape that we're in?
No, you should. But the thing is, there are certain people that cater to those needs. You
know? Those are the people we're addressing right now.
Yeah, well.
I have a question. So we're talking about landscape, the environment, and so in my situation, you as somebody who's working in HR, how would you advise one goes about getting... Justice.
Prepared. Justice, I like that.
Justice wasn't.
I think it all goes back to having something written down. Until you have a signed agreement with the organization, even if I verbally told you you have the job, you really don't have the job.
Does it mean squat?
Yes.
Even despite them making me use my money for the prince?
Dude, I have a title. I have like some other job. I've had this job for like 6 months. I have a title and everything. I've never seen the contract. I've never seen the money.
Then do you really
have a job?
Have a job.
I have an office.
I think you guys need to have a conversation after this, because that sounds like a breach of
Also, again, guys, it's very landscape dependent. How much are you willing to do?
Another thing is, if Cynthia is willing to take something and Elias is willing to take it and Wes is willing to take it, I then use that as my base. So I know that if I call people for interviews the next day, they're going to show up.
Definitely.
And even if I don't give them a contract, they're going to work. You understand? So it's then dependent on people knowing their rights and demanding that they're treated fairly.
So basically, you're agreeing with what we're saying?
Yes, pretty much.
No, because like our point is, he's saying we're
being entitled. I feel for you guys, it's more of a rights issue.
It is a rights issue. It's also just etiquette. Like, if you tell me that you're going to call me for an interview the day before, to his point, like, you're not prepared. Like, most people that go for interviews are actually working jobs. You don't just up and say, go to your boss and say, oh, I've got a thing tomorrow. I gotta...
And sometimes it's not even that complicated. I could be in Ndola, and you're telling me the interview is in Lusaka.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if I'm broke, I have to look for money.
Agreed.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. So to the point where someone tells you that they're going to call you, like, honestly, I actually think I've never been called back for an interview for a job I didn't get. So basically, every job interview that I've been to that I didn't get, I just at like 3 months down the line, I'm like, okay, I guess I'm not getting that job. You know what I mean? Is it being entitled to ask for a simple? And I think
talk
about this.
Yeah, look,
to ask for a simple, hey, you didn't get the job. Sorry. You know, like, it's I know, like, it's to your point, you talked about how, like, there's a lot of people that you have to, but, like, guys, yeah, send out, like, a chain email.
If you have a department that's forgetful, I feel like it's better just include, if we don't contact you by this time, then consider yourself rejected.
Yeah, and that's a common practice as
well,
right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
It's not
if you don't hear,
not very common.
No, and listen, I get your point, and I'm trying to play devil's advocate. I get your point.
Is that really not really
no, but what I also said is personally, when I go for interviews, I ask them, when can I expect you to get back to me? So that if they say 1 week and they haven't gotten back to me in 1 week, I have that peace of mind because I know that people don't get back to you. They should, but they don't.
So what happens when they tell you that they're going to get back to you in 1 week? They don't get back to you in 1 week. Mm-hmm. They get back to you in 2 or 3. How is that fair?
You guys are assuming we're living in a utopian society.
No, right? We're not living in a utopian society, but there need to be standards.
Agreed.
There do need to be standards.
And
we
there'll always
don't.
Be
That's
exceptions.
That's why we have wars. That's why we have famine.
But you see,
that's why we have corruption.
After that 1 week, you then give yourself the peace of mind and you move on. And if they get back to you in 2 weeks, well and good.
Can I call?
What do you mean?
If they tell me a week, can I call and find out?
Yes, call.
Thank you.
I called.
I always call.
No, cool. I never call.
Yes, you can call.
Anyway, I'm like I mentioned earlier. I don't know if this was like we're already recording when I say this, but like I've got this really bad habit. Like I roll up my sleeves when I'm going for an interview. It's happened quite a lot, actually. Quite a lot. Every time. Like is that like a thing? Do you frown upon stuff like? What technical people, right? I think I've been to like 4 or 5 interviews, like my entire like short career, and I don't know if I should be saying that, but anyway, like if it feels like it's a trend for me, like when I'm preparing for an interview, right? Provided I know about this interview in advance, like I go read the whatever description they put up. Sometimes you forget because they'll call you 6 months later for an interview.
Ask for it.
Who did that to you?
And I'll go read articles on the internet. Like I found a few websites that let you prepare. Like I don't know if you guys use like any websites to like, practice your coding.
Not websites in particular, but like you do research, especially when you're doing technical interviews. Uh-huh. You research on like the common asked like technical questions, how you go about them, and that kind of thing.
Yeah. So I always go in expecting technical stuff. So I don't imagine that I'll sit in front of like an entire panel of non-technical people. I assume it's like a balance.
So you assume like no one tells you anything. You just assume.
No, you can ask, but you're really given that information anyway. Like I do ask all these questions, like who's going to be on the panel, how long will it take, are there any other people interviewing on the day. I rarely get that answer, but yeah, I do ask all those questions, but then it's not always that they're answered, so you have to like make some kind of assumption. So going off the one assumption I always make, there'll be one HR person and like one decision maker. I'll roll up.
So
he basically said people in HR and decision makers gone.
right
Let me clarify. When I say decision maker, it's a CFO, the guy that will sign my checks.
I don't know. Does that, because it's like the last interview I went to, like for my current job. Okay, so I went to like, I think 3 interviews. And the first 2, I was working somewhere else where I had to dress all smart and stuff. So I couldn't help but go for the interviews looking smart. But then the last one, I think, was on a Saturday. And I went like dressed like yes. I do. And it wasn't a problem. I got the job. I think a cousin of mine was talking about how in I think it's in a bank or something, like appearance is like you go there with a scuff on your shoe, you might as well just walk out. You know what I mean? So I don't know, like
it's very industry specific, like you're saying.
Yeah,
so know where you're going. I think that's the first thing. Also,
so you can't ignore where you're going.
No, you really can't.
No one size fits all.
No one size fits all. And personally, I prefer to err on the side of caution, because
better safe.
Yes, precisely. And on top of that, they don't know you.
Exactly.
So
they know me.
So maybe they will not interpret your jeans and your t-shirt as being casual but competent, but instead being casual and, you know, incompetent. Yes.
But it's like there's, I guess, in terms of the Zambian landscape, this isn't really true, but like famously in the video games industry, when you go there in a suit, yeah, I brought up video games again. when you go there, like dressed in a suit, because I've been reading Walt Williams' book, and he was talking about like the whole process, and like you go there in a suit, it'll be like,
dude,
what are you even doing here? Like you don't go there.
Location, in, like, location, location.
I've never been to an interview in a suit, regardless of. Okay, but then I'm not really a case study, because obviously.
But then I'm also, we then have to look at typically the people who are on interview panels in Zambia. It's typically people who are older and who have a certain perception of what a professional should look like. You understand? Mm-hmm. So you're going to go in there as a millennial. So already you have this tag. That, you know, this is a millennial, they're entitled, they expect XYZ and so on and so forth. And on top of that, people are very biased. We know this, you know?
People.
Precisely, people are people.
I feel like that doesn't sound like an excuse.
No!
Mukuma, I feel a lot of...
Look,
what's going on, man?
Studies have been conducted that show that people will form an idea about you and who you are in X number of seconds. Yeah. You know? So if people are biased, why not use that bias in your favor? I have tattoos and things like that. You will never see my tattoos in a job interview. Why? Because people will judge me.
She speaks HR.
You understand? So it's little things like that. Then, you know, like after you're over your probation, start to show people who you are in bits and pieces, and they won't judge you so much. Look, if we know people are biased, why not make that work in our favor?
That's one way of adapting to like the landscape, like we're talking about, I guess. So that actually works.
But then also, like I said, industry specific.
So would you say in our industry, the IT guys?
But where does IT work?
In every industry?
Precisely.
Yeah, that's a fair point, I guess. So
we're doomed?
She's mixed it.
She's so basically you have to do the research of where you're
yes,
going.
Yes, pretty much.
Like, okay.
But then when doing the research of where you're going, right, I know maybe you might not be able to answer this, but it's on the we IT or devs sort of like the people.
No, we're all IT.
We are all IT. I had this incident where so they put up an advert, but they did not specifically say which languages they needed a developer to know, right?
Okay.
So I decided to email them to say, okay, you've invited me for this interview, but I have no idea what languages you're looking out for. You just said software developer. And like, it's what really broad, are the skills that you're looking for? Then they go like, oh no, just come prepared. And just know that it would be a practical, you know, interview. I'm like, okay, so you want me to come in, do a practical interview, most likely come up with some, I don't know, whatever it will be. I don't even know what skills you're looking for. Then they say, yeah, you have to be innovative. I'm like, no, this is not innovation.
Was that HR speaking?
Just for context. I don't know, but then the email did show some HR. And
we really
I think
that's
why HR should also, I feel, especially for us,
it's very technical.
Okay,
yeah.
Wait. I have a question. How did it end up?
I just went in.
Okay, and?
What was the language?
I flopped.
What was the language?
Java.
I feel like if they're talking in advance, you wouldn't have wasted your time.
You wouldn't
have. I wouldn't have wasted
me,
my
I wouldn't
time.
Have gone.
I wouldn't have gone either.
Yes.
Yo.
I went. you kind of like Java, so.
Yeah.
I don't like. Okay,
but you work
so
with
you
Java.
Were saying
yes.
No, I work with Kotlin. Dude,
Kotlin,
you're one of my
Java.
Closest friends. How do you not know this?
Kotlin is based off what?
Java.
No, it's the you know what? Let's not. Let's not. Anyway,
okay, well, I guess it all goes back to, I don't know. We also need to do better.
because that not only disadvantages the candidates, but it also disadvantages the organization. Because, yes, that then means I have a very vast talent pool when I should actually be more focused, because it would then help me get the kind of person I'm actually looking for. Yes, so it goes both ways.
So that's why you should specify.
Yes, that's why you should specify, yes.
Yeah, I feel like it also kind of helps. For me, it would really be beneficial for, like, because then I would know if this is the job I actually want.
Uh-huh. Precisely.
Like, I don't know if it stopped mattering, that's a word, where really I work. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we spoke about this in one episode. Mm-hmm. Like, culture. Mm-hmm. Like, if you vibe with the organization, you vibe with them. Like, you have to actually enjoy being there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So sometimes it's not all about, I'm in a bank, I'm in whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, that doesn't really speak to it as much as it should. So I would like to know, first of all, what kind of skills you're looking for, if it's something that I would really enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then I would look at the organization. Okay, what do they do? Like, okay, they do this. Do I like this industry? Mm-hmm. Do I like insurance? Do I like finance? Do I like whatever? Then that's when you have the luxury of choice. I have to put that.
And I wanted to say, it goes back to the landscape. How many people have the privilege to do that today in Zambia?
Not a lot, actually. It's one of the reasons why we have this whole like entitlement thing. It's because there are very few people with so many options.
Yes.
And then, yeah, it becomes a bit difficult to kind of... I don't think this is like unique to Zambia anyway. It must be a problem across Africa, I think.
Probably. Well, it goes back to employment rates and so on and so forth. But it is beneficial for people, like you're saying, to vibe with the organization, because at the end of the day, if you don't buy into the organization's big ambition or whatever it is, how are you then supposed to, you know, actively contribute and be productive and be innovative and all these things that people claim are part of their values? But are they?
What they put on paper and what happens.
Precisely. But in an ideal world, there should be something called a realistic job preview, right? Where you are realistically told, A, what you're going to be expected to do, B, the type of environment you're going into. But what I've found is most people like to oversell themselves. And then you have a candidate who goes in there and they're expecting the world and, you know, this culture of ABC. And you just, you know, you just go in there and it flops.
That's interesting.
Yes.
I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
Like you mentioned, we usually have old people interviewing us, yes?
Yes.
We have you, who's a fellow millennial, yes?
Yay.
So my question is, you as a fellow millennial who's now in HR, what are some of the things personally are you doing to make sure that even the, I don't want to call them old people, yes, but like the older generation, to show sort of... Like, sort of enlighten them on different ways of recruiting. So let's say for tech, recently what we decided where I work, instead of doing the whole, no, send your CVs, we look at your CV, then we call you in for interviews.
Yes.
We put up a challenge. We said, solve this issue.
Yes.
Send us the solution. We'll run through the solution. Mm-hmm. If you've done it very well, then we'll call you in person to talk now, HR, you know.
Despite your CV, despite everything else.
We didn't even look at the CV. We wanted, because there are some people who are very good at polishing up their CV. If you attract you, you employ them.
And they do have the accolades.
And alas, yes.
Have you been looking at my CV?
You know what? What Cynthia just said reminds me of one interview I went to. It's interesting because I did this interview twice. It's not because
How
of
many
the...
interviews have you done twice?
So like this other one was pretty interesting because the first time I did get the job, but then there were other things I wasn't happy about, for example, the second time my interview went really badly. The first time was really good, like I could feel it, like this was really good, but the second one was terrible, like even I couldn't even believe they called me after the oral interview. Like it was one of those, like the time they called me, I was literally sulking. I was in my track pants. I was at the mall walking to the store to get a, you know, a new some. And I get the call, right? I have to go back for like the technical thing. And if you think the oral was bad, the technical was worse. Like, you know the stuff, right? Like, you know what they're talking about. You know everything. But then you're at the board and then it's just not working out. Like, it is just not working. And then I'm just like,
Okay, so this is not just a Zambian thing, but a lot of studies have shown that a lot of interviews are like pageants. You know what I'm saying? It's basically about who can present themselves the best. Okay.
First impressions, right?
Oh, I got that job, by the way. The one I was.
Yeah. Okay.
Shocking.
Okay, so like you're saying, a lot of organizations are then moving towards more technical things and case studies and presentations and videos and so on and so forth. So we're actually saying goodbye to interviews. That's the plan.
Is that a good thing, though?
It is, because at the end of the day, if I come here and, you know, I, like I said, people are people. Okay, so if I come in and I'm wearing a shiny suit and shiny shoes and my English accent is amazing and what and what and what, and you know, I can remember everything that's on my CV and so on and so forth, and then the next person comes in and maybe because of socioeconomic issues, his suit is not as shiny as the last guy, and maybe because he didn't go to a private school, his English accent is not as Englishy.
Yeah, because social anxiety,
yes,
panicking,
and so on and so forth. Yes.
Bemba English.
Oh, okay.
Yes, so interviews actually aren't that good at determining how an individual is actually going to perform in their role in an organization. There's a very little correlation between those two events.
I'm glad you say that, because recently, right, this is like last week, mm-hmm. was this like thing that just went, it was really viral, like on Twitter, everyone's talking about it, about how this guy went for an interview, and I don't even know if we had the right to know that information, but it was out there anyway, so maybe we can talk about confidentiality as well. So like, basically the person didn't get the job because they tweeted something, we don't know what they tweeted, you know. It became like a whole thing. Should we now start really looking at what we're tweeting? Should you now start looking at what, how you dress when you're walking on the road, just in case someone sees you, and then they are your interviewer tomorrow, you know, stuff like that.
You were not in the suit you were in.
I saw you in slippers.
Yeah, so like, is there a correlation between like whatever happens outside the interview room, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have your CV, you have the kind of personality that you have. Should mm-hmm. it have like a? Should my Twitter define whether I get the job or not?
I think it depends basically on the type of job.
Yeah, and the visibility that you have with that organization.
Yeah.
Right? Did I say that right?
No, I'm listening.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, but we're doubting ourselves.
I'm just going to assume I said it right.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
Depends on the type of job, like how.
So there was this I will not mention names, but there's this incident where we were dealing with advocating for girls in tech, right?
Mm-hmm.
And simply preaching equality.
Yeah.
So one of my male colleagues was tweeting sexist stuff, yes?
Okay. Mm.
And even on Facebook. So eventually there were certain opportunities that the organization that we were doing that for could not give him based on, they were actually, they had appointed someone to actually check on what we tweet on.
Oh.
So with that kind of job, then they'll look at what are you tweeting, what are you putting on your Facebook.
Now, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think for some of these platforms, they really give a true picture, a true insight into who the person really is.
Mm.
Okay. Social media, it's role playing. It might not be the exact representation of ourselves, but it's an extension of ourselves, good or bad. Okay. So based on
really deep.
Oh, <my bad. laughs> yeah, sorry.
No, you can finish.
Yeah. So like, look, like you said, Musanda, like you can go into an interview and ace it. But I don't really know you, okay?
Fair point.
Mm. How do I know you? How do I ensure that this is the right person for the job?
Twitter feed.
Mukuma, what do you think? What do you think?
I think there's it's not a perfect science, to be honest. I feel like Wesley saying, there's a lot of misrepresentation on social media as well.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I feel like we aren't our real selves, for whatever reason.
Yeah.
That's not the person, that's not being real.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I feel like we're on a thin line.
Mm-hmm.
It's really thin.
Mm-hmm.
Like the example we gave, right? It wasn't clear what caused the person not to get the job. It
mm-hmm.
was all speculation. Everybody
mm-hmm.
had their own opinion.
Yes.
We have no idea. It could have been something simple as,
mm-hmm.
hey, you did something with my ex-girlfriend, you know, and I don't like you, you know what I mean? You tweeted that you did something with my ex-girlfriend, you know what I mean?
So, like, you did something with my ex-girlfriend and tweeted about it. I'm not giving you this job.
Exactly. So it's really not very clear. There's certain obvious circumstances, like Cynthia's example.
Yes.
Like, it's sexist. If this guy is like a molester, you know what I mean, and is really proud, or you know, like
but just someone who you just generally don't want around young girls.
Anyway, yeah, that, like, but you get my point. Like, there's obvious things and there's less obvious things. Where do we, for lack of a better example, and I always say this, it's like soccer. You know, with the handball rule, it's not very clear. You have to show intent. But then if we start deciding what intent is, we're now really walking a thin line.
No, I actually have a pretty good example. Recently, the Guardians of the Galaxy director, James Gunn, he was fired from Disney because some right-leaning... you know, extremist, people like, like attacked him, got tweets from, I think, what, 10 years ago or something? Like, publicized them and say, hey, look, you're not a great person. And Disney fired him. They recently rehired him. But that was, again, kind of like the fans were like, from directing The Guardians of the Galaxy, Volume 3. I don't know if it's Volume 3. Because of tweets that he put out 10 years ago. He apologizes. Apparently they have a meeting, but Disney being Disney, you know, they're really protective about their brand. They're like, no, you're not coming back. And then months later, he gets reinstated. Like, I'm wondering where the line is drawn, because if you're going to say, okay, this person tweeted bad stuff, he's a bad person, then you say, you stand by that, right? And then if you say, okay, this person tweeted some stuff 10 years ago, but it was 10 years ago and there were clearly jokes that were in bad taste or whatever, then you have to take a stand on the opposite side.
Okay, so I feel like the question here is basically, what's due diligence and what's invasion of people's privacy?
Yeah, thank you. All this summarized in one sentence.
I feel like Cynthia's example is very good because there was some objective measure to what they were checking for. You understand? They weren't checking for whether Cynthia has liked a baby page, so maybe Cynthia might get pregnant in 3 months, so we can't give her the job, because if Cynthia gets pregnant in 3 months, it then means you have to go on maternity leave for 4 months, and you understand? Right.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm confused.
Okay. My point is, there should be X amount of objectivity to it. You can't come to my Facebook page and just start to look and see, okay, you know what, who is, you understand. So if we're going to go to Musonda's page, what are we looking for exactly? Are we trying to see if Musonda tweets between 9 and 5 and see if she tweets between, rather within office hours, and probably that's what she'll bring to our workplace? Or are we trying to see if Musonda abides by our company values and things like that?
Here's where it gets messy, I feel. Musonda, is your profile public or is it private?
I was about to get to that. Okay, so then the second thing is, if you have a public profile that anyone can access, are you allowed to be mad if you're judged based on it?
And here's where it gets even more scary. Here's where it gets more scary. It doesn't need to be private for all of us to know about it, you know? It just needs to be on the internet.
Yes.
Once it's out, it's out.
Yes.
Okay, so I have a question. Say, hypothetically speaking, I tweeted some jokes that are risque. Okay? In poor taste, quote-unquote.
Yes.
Okay? Like, what is, like, to your point, like, that stuff is public, right?
Yes.
But...
does it affect your job performance?
Exactly. Like, I'm a developer, okay? If I tweeted about... Donald Trump's illegitimate child in a joking manner and the like, is it fair for someone to say, no, you're bringing politics in the office? And I'm just like giving like a random example, but like, yeah, like, from my perspective, I feel social media, because maybe I tweet a lot of, I can see how making that, for example, like you've given an example, like I'm technically an ambassador for Codecast because I'm one of the hosts, and we usually like this is like unscripted off the cuff, so when I tweet something and I come and talk about something, like there's that direct, you know, so I guess that's fair, but in the case where like I'm working my job completely separate and I tweet a few but not so PC tweets.
But there's the thing with today, I think, is there's no longer a work-life balance.
Thank you.
There's a work-life integration. Yes. So the idea is you're a holistic human being.
Exactly. That's just an extension. Huh. Look, think of it this way. We all have multiple personalities, eh? Anyway, the way we talk here is not the way I would speak to my dad, probably. The conversation I would have with Cynthia is not the conversation I would have with my sister or with my employer.
Yeah, fair point.
You see that?
Yeah.
So what social media does is just, it's basically just an extension of whatever persona you wish to project at that given time. But it's still public.
Mm.
It's still in the public domain. That's the tricky bit.
Yes.
At the end of the day, I think it's just about applying a bit of objectivity on the part of organizations, but then also people thinking about where they want to be in their careers and what their aspirations and their goals are. If I want to be president of big organization, should I really be posting those nudes if I think that it will help me get there? Well and good, you know what I'm saying? Be an Instagram model, but... Yeah. If not, maybe not. But I have nothing against anyone and what they wish to post.
No, I definitely agree with you. I feel like it's about knowing yourself and what your career path is.
Yes.
Because, like, I don't know who mentioned this, but someone said it depends what industry, what job you want to do.
Mm.
Some jobs don't allow you to be so active on
yes.
social media, for example.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have to know that and then do likewise, I guess.
Mm.
I feel it's just a complex representation of who we are. I mean, where do you draw the line?
Yes.
There's no line anymore. There's just no line.
I feel like the line is always going to be there.
Yeah.
The line is always going to be there, to be honest. It's just about how thin it is. No, this is what we're discussing now.
Yeah.
Like, we've had situations, right? I gave an example of what kind of qualitative objectives are you going to use to hire someone or not.
Mm.
There has to be a line there. Because if there's no line, then
yes.
what are we doing?
Mm. I could just wake up.
I own a company. I would just wake up and say, I want to hire this guy. Because I just like him. You know what I mean?
Yes.
He liked my tweet.
Why shouldn't you?
For liking your tweet?
Yeah.
Well, it works for small companies. But when you have 1,200 people under you, it's not so easy.
And also, it's not exactly...
ethical?
Strategy. I mean, if you own the company, you can hire whoever the fuck you want to hire. But like, if you want to get your business from point A to point
Agreed.
B, you have to objectively look at who's best for your company.
But then, what I will also say is, maybe this is just me, and this is just me as a human being speaking. I'm not speaking for the HR industry. There's a bit of rigidity in Zambia, in terms of. I don't know if you've noticed, any single scandal that goes out, like everyone always then calls on God and, oh my God, this person's going to hell and you're going to burn and so on and so forth. So I feel like to a certain extent, that's what we're then bringing in. So if I'm going to look at your social media, that's why I'm saying, what are you looking for exactly? You just can't go to someone's Facebook page and say, you know, as an organization, we recruit using your social media. What are you looking for exactly?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you guys do realize that these are profiles, eh?
Mm-hmm. Personal profiles.
Yeah.
Well and good if I have...
Personal profiles, but it's out there.
But look, well and good... Okay, so I'm going to give an example. The content I put up on my LinkedIn and the content I put up on my Facebook and my WhatsApp status and my Twitter are completely different.
But they're on the internet.
Yes, they are. So if you're going to try and see me as a professional, go to my LinkedIn. Why are you going to my Twitter? To do what?
that's still a persona.
Yes, it's but I'm not disputing that. Yeah. But if you are going to try and see me in a professional sphere, in a professional light, which is what you're looking for in me, because remember, I'm a holistic human being.
Yeah.
So you can't expect that all I am is a professional human being. So that's why I'm saying, what are you looking for when you're going to look into these people's profiles?
Yeah, you do have a point. And like you said,
did they go to Jameson Connect?
Yeah.
Not hired.
Anyway, I guess to conclude, this is like a really interesting conversation, because I feel like these are things I battle with like on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever I look at a job ad, I'm like, hey, you have to look at your CV again.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, crap, just send the same one. Right now. Just send the same one.
What has changed?
Before we end, I have one last question.
Yes, please.
So you mentioned that they'll be getting rid of the internet?
Well, we're trying. I don't necessarily want to say getting rid of them, but they can't be the only source.
Exactly.
Through which you recruit a person, it's not very viable.
What are some of the new ways you're thinking of?
Okay, so you gave a very good example where you send out a practical test.
Uh-huh.
Because, like you're saying, some people pay people to create CVs for them. You bring in people as opposed to having them sit down, they do a presentation. So, for example, if I'm looking for a salesperson, the day before the interview, just put them under a bit of pressure. You send out some kind of essay question,
mm-hmm.
and you say, okay, so you're the marketing manager. Okay, this is the information that you have. So present your marketing strategy to us for the year 2018-2019. So as opposed to asking you, tell me who you are, what are your biggest strengths and weaknesses, I actually see what you can do and what you bring to the position. Yes. We then have all the various tests. Yeah, so pretty much more practical. An interesting one that I recently read about, Richard Branson pretended to be a driver to candidates who were going for an interview in his organization. So he wore a disguise, and based on how they treated him during the ride, they either got the job or didn't get the job, and no one got the job.
We're terrible people.
That's because you're frustrated. You're thinking of the interview about
doesn't give you the right to be a shitty human being.
Precisely. I'm also not sure what the job was.
Because if I'm a shitty human being, but I'm a shitty human being that's good at my job.
No, but you see, back to, we're no longer hiring people just because you code the best. Who are you as Elias, holistically?
I'm a back-end developer.
What? Social media.
So, yeah.
You guys, I don't think we were talking about this even before we started the podcast. Eh? I don't think we are aware of the scale. Okay, let me start from here. So, it's been said that most millennials suffer from a mental disorder.
What is
That's known as the dissociative mental disorder.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. We, for quote-unquote, case in point, we post a lot of shit.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
We post a lot of things we don't even mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you come back maybe a week later and say, oh, wait, what was I doing?
I was shitposting.
Let me delete that. What was I thinking?
Mm-hmm. Oh, you actually delete.
My parents said
a lot of things.
I don't.
That's
what I'm going to say.
I do delete, but at the bedrock of it all is we have to be careful. Okay, these are extensions of our personalities. It's a role playing game. Twitter is a role playing game. Okay, we give our opinions, we post our pics, and it's like points, eh? The retweets, the likes. Yeah, same endorphins getting released.
I got 9 likes last week.
I got 400 likes. Hey, guys, you know, it's very black mirror-ish.
Yeah. You know what I would like in a utopia? A situation where there are no double standards, for example, on the internet, because I feel like that's where the biggest problem is, especially with stuff like bullying and even what we're talking about now. There's still a lot of double standards. Yes, you know, it's an extension of you. It's an extension of me, but it should be the real me too, you know what I mean? And it should, like, while you should know where you're going, that real you should reflect in that career path as well.
Who's the real you?
The problem is a different question. Now you're stretching into like philosophy.
Sorry, guys.
The problem is you're conflating what someone posts on social media as a proper representation of the kind of person.
I'm saying it's a persona.
It's a persona, but you have to understand.
I alluded to the fact that, look, we all have multiple personalities at any given time.
If I have a short temper, you're not going to know that from social media.
We might. But okay, what's the problem?
Yeah, Cynthia, Python, Khaleesi.
Okay, what's the problem? What's the problem with asking someone? Okay, so you know, before you came for the interview or during your second interview. So after your first interview, we went through your Facebook page or your Twitter page, and we found a few things that we're uncomfortable with. Do you wish to explain? Do you care to explain? Maybe I was just going through a bad breakup when I said men are trash. I didn't mean all men are trash, and I don't want to work with
them.
You know?
That's true.
You understand? So we can qualify what people mean. It's not a one-way path.
No, it's not.
And it then goes back to the landscape. The fact of the matter is employers have a lot of power currently because there's so many people out there looking for jobs. Okay, so we can choose and say, you know what, I don't like his profile picture.
You had liberty.
Yes, and that's it, but X amount of objectivity.
Okay, last thing. Do you feel like the current landscape, right?
Mm-hmm.
Employers have too much power. Is this something... Is the partnership changing? Like, I think it's changing because of the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
It means people will accept anything, even if it's at the lowest bar, like maybe even below the bar, because they're in a position where they can't pick and choose. People have families they need to feed. So, like, is it changing from like the people we've interacted with the industry?
And what's HR doing about that?
Okay, so yes and no. Yes, it's changing in that people are becoming the real differentiator. What do I mean by this? You can replicate technology and you can replicate strategy. You understand, right? But you can't replicate people. Okay, so if you're a person who has X amount of knowledge in your field and you're at the top of your field, you know, you're always going to have a job. There's certain people who leave their jobs today and know for a fact that they're going to be headhunted the next day. So I think the question then to everyone is, how do you make sure that you're differentiating yourself? You understand? Because at the end of the day, if you're average, yes, you're going to be stuck in the murky water. Yes. And Africa's population is only rising. So, yeah. Good and bad.
On that very sad, we end today's podcast. It's been really emotional. I think this is one of the most emotionally charging episodes we've had.
I'm not crying. You are.
Dude, I'm
no one is crying.
I'm turning into philosophy.
It was also.
Yeah, Wiz is worried about the disorder. Anyway, if you want to listen to more episodes, we're Codecast ZM on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Breaker.
What else?
Did you say Spotify?
Yes.
Okay.
Most recently, TuneIn Radio as well.
Oh, yeah.
So we're now on a total of 11 platforms.
Not yet.
Yeah.
I'll tell you all about it after this. Anyway, so this is Mukuma, also Sour_Bones on Twitter. And Facebook.
Yes, Sour Bones on Facebook.
Hey guys, Wezi, that's the Zambian_geek. Yeah. Elias?
This one I always wait.
We should wait for Elias to be last.
No, let him be second last. I need to hear it.
Yes, Elias.
Jorelai. That's Jor_Li.
Double R, what?
Jor, as in Jor-El, but Jor-El.
It gets better every time.
Okay, look, if you want to find me on Twitter, I'm Jor-Li, or search Derp God. Like, just, if you want to find me, you'll find me, guys. Come on. Also, haven't been on Twitter a lot recently. Shout out to Ibak. I saw your tweets. Sorry, I didn't.
Oh, yeah.
That's my bad. Cynthia?
Mine is very simple. This is why you're doing. This is Cynthia, and my Twitter handle is Python Khaleesi.
Oh. When are you changing it to Red Range?
First, let the Range Rover land, my friend.
Okay, guest number five.
Guest number five. Okay. I am Musonda Speaks on Twitter, and read my stuff on musondaspeakshr.com.
Oh.
Yeah.
I finally met a blogger who doesn't have... I'm on musondaspeaks.wordpress.com. I just find that really...
hectic, man.
Like, if you're really doing content and you're a blogger, know that there's a section of people that find the URL very annoying.
But last week, we were talking about bootstrapping and how you, if you don't have the money...
anyone that wants like really simple ways of going online with a proper like the www thingy, it's called a domain, with a proper domain, at us codecast.m, and we'll throw around some tips on like a really affordable ways of going online.
Don't use the WordPress thing.
Yeah, we'll do it for free.
You can use the WordPress thing, but you can codecast out.
Thanks for joining us on this week's episode of Codecast. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at CodecastZM and subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you never miss a show. Leave us a rating on iTunes and please do tell a friend about the show.